So last week we talked about the keys, an emphasis on keys. We're talking about keys of the kingdom. And so we read the text, which is in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. I want to read it to you again to start this sermon, to give you a little bit of a background of what we're talking about here. So in Matthew 16, 13, it says, Jesus came to the region and he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And so the disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" to Simon Peter. And he replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So what is Jesus talking about here? Well, we looked at that last week, and so I've always heard this passage, and I've heard the keys. You know, you gotta have the keys to get into the kingdom, or you gotta have the keys to unlock doors. And I think that's great. You know, those are great analogies. We can remember those things. This passage, Jesus is talking about giving Peter the authority to build the church. And so keep in mind, last week, God can use anybody. Because shortly after that, Peter denied Jesus that he even knew him. And then Jesus reinstated him, right? So Jesus used Peter, who recognized who Jesus was, and said, "You are the rock which I'll put my church on." And he said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." But what does he mean? Well, what Jesus is talking about is the authority. And during that time, scholars say that that meant a very high honor. Because the master doesn't just give keys to ordinary people. He gives keys to people as a privilege, as something that's honorable, because he has control of the possessions. Now, we all can obtain these keys. You can obtain these keys now. Because Peter started the church, and the church is still here today. And the church has been passed down. So the first point I want to make is that you can obtain the kingdom keys. It was not just for Peter. Now, Jesus also breathed on the disciples in John 20. They had the authority as well. And so then Acts 2 came, and the Spirit was poured out, just as Jesus said would happen. And so now, they all have authority. So let's go to today. What does that mean? We as a church, the Holy Spirit draws us in, and we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, and we say, "Lord, I want to serve you," and the Holy Spirit begins to change our lives. The same Holy Spirit that changed your lives can change other lives. And now you have the kingdom keys. We got to use them. So we can all obtain these kingdom keys, and now the authority is not just Peter. The authority is the Holy Spirit. The authority is the Word of God, and that is our authority. So today I want to ask you, what happens when we do not use kingdom keys? I want to give you an example. In June of 2018, the Canada Supreme Court ruled that Trinity Western University could no longer hold their students accountable to their own Christian standards and belief. Now, according to BBC.com, it says, quote, "The Evangelical University finalized its proposal for a law school in 2012, and they applied for accreditation, and they were denied. British Columbia and other laws denied the school accreditation on the grounds that it would require all students to sign a code of conduct." What does that mean? Part of the code of conduct was this. You could not have sex outside of marriage. You cannot go into an unlawful thing, as in sin, and you can also not practice homosexuality, which is also sin. And the Supreme Court of Canada said you cannot do that because it infringes on human rights. Now, a lot of us are thinking that's pretty extreme. A college that basically raises its own funds, that does its own thing, cannot be a college that's accredited by Canada because of their religious conviction and belief. That sounds absurd, right? Well, let's go back a few years, because in 1969, Canada made everything legal, as in homosexual marriage. Fast forward years later, and the keys were not used. And because of that, they have those laws. Now, I want to point something out here. I know we don't live in Canada. I understand that. And I know that that's something different. But I also want to point out this. In June 26 in 2015, the United States Supreme Court ruled the same thing. And so now anyone can get married. It's not a state right issue. It's an across the board issue. Now, we do have under America the religious right to be able to say under conviction, no, I have the right not to marry you. But Canada had the same thing happen in 1969. And now the colleges can't even be accredited if they want to hold their own students to a standard of godly living. We do have rights, but I want to point out a story. In 2015, there was a same-sex couple who came to get a cake from a baker. And the baker said, basically, look, you can have any cake you want, but I do not want to make you an handmade cake of my endorsement because that is against my religious beliefs and conviction. Well, they sued him. And so for years and years, I think a couple of years at least, it went and they would sue and then it would go into another courts and it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court voted it down 7-2 that you cannot do that. They have the right. He has the right to say no under his religious conviction. But here's something I want to point out. On August 13th, 2015, the Colorado Court of Appeals unanimously affirmed the commission's order, finding that the bakery discriminated because of sexual orientation in violation of state law. And the court also concluded that application of Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act that did not infringe the baker's freedom of speech or free exercise of religion. Folks, this is the state of the United States that ruled this unanimously. Now, I got that from the ACLU, And I just want to let you know, I'm not trying to get political here. I'm not trying to do any of those things. My point is this. If we don't use the kingdom keys in our country, we will be like Canada, we'll be like Europe. And our personal feeling or our personal, well, our personal thought will begin to take over. And man will ruin society. It's just how it is. That's how history works. We look back at what happened, and what happened was this. Now, I'm not trying to pick out an order of people who are living in sin. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to be the judgmental guy or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is that if we don't stand up for what the authority says, God, we will eventually turn into that. Right. It's not just our country either. It's our personal lives. Now, I'm a millennial. Others in the room are millennials. So you've already probably experienced this. You go to school, and the topic will come up. What do you think about this? And everybody, at least in public school, we all went, I don't really know. I don't know what the Bible says about it, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so nobody would ever decide. So eventually it was just, it's probably bad, but, I'm not going to judge. And then we would stop. Now, I don't think we should be able to be the Pharisee type thing where we were proud of it or we front them out or anything like that. But we didn't have authority then. In our generation, we're going to have that struggle. We're going to have times whenever people are going to ask, or they don't even know that they're living in sin. And we have to say, look, you're not going to like this, but the Bible says this isn't right. Now, we can handle it correctly. We can, restore them gently, as the Bible says, show them love and compassion. But we have to use the authority because, friends, your kids, if you don't give them the authority early on and then they go to school where there is no authority, they're eventually going to side on their own. And just like the devil who tempted Jesus himself to try to deceive and distort the Bible, it will happen there as well. Now they're faced with a problem. Which side do I go with? Do I go with what this says, or do I go with what that says? And if they don't have the kingdom keys, it's going to be hard. I want to challenge you with that today. You may have children, you may have people that you know now that are struggling with this. They're struggling with the authority. But if we simply say, this is what I believe, this is what the Word of God says, He said it, not me. And I just want to tell you this because I love you and I care about you. I used to hear all the time, you know, people say, and I still do, and this is true. They say, well, we're in the end times. Jesus is going to come back really soon. But I kind of have a different opinion on that. I agree, Jesus will come back soon. But I believe now than ever, we should be pouring out to people who are lost. Because if we just stop and give up and wait for Jesus to come, are we really doing our job? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Jesus said, all authority in heaven has been given to me and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So how do we do this correctly? How do we give the authority? How can we use our kingdom keys effectively and without doing it wrong? It's very simple. Be Christ-like. And that's my second point I want to bring up. Be Christ-like with authority. We can do that because Jesus showed it. You may have heard of the incarnation. What does that mean? That means that Jesus came down, became fully God, fully man. He took on flesh and bone. That's very important. Because Jesus did that, He died for our sins. He overcame the grave. And He showed us how He wants us to live out our lives. In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. New Living Translation says, so the Word became human and made His home among us. And He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Jesus, when you look at Jesus' life, you know that He was real. Not just real as in human, but a real person. Jesus, you know, He came into this earth and it was a pretty humble birth, right? He walked with Mary and Joseph. He was humble about it. He was a carpenter. He didn't boast about who He was. He built relationships. He asked how people were doing. He probably followed up on see how everybody's doing. He was part of the neighborhood in the city. And what Jesus did was, is when He built these relationships, people trusted Him. And they built up that trust. They didn't even know that He was the Messiah then. Because when you read His word, it says, isn't this Mary's son, Joseph's son? Jesus knew how to do it. Jesus showed compassion on people who were lost. And Jesus showed authority to the Pharisees and to others. Jesus corrected the disciples when they were wrong. He corrected the Pharisees even whenever it was uncomfortable or He knew He would not be favorable. Because we all know what happened in the end whenever the Jews said, crucify Him. Jesus stood up and gave authority. But even during the hard times, even when John the Baptist was beheaded and he wanted to have some time alone because his cousin was just murdered, he said that the people were waiting for him. And it says he had compassion on them and went over there to see them. That is the example we live. I just want to be honest with you, friends. Legalism doesn't work. It just doesn't. And I know this because, number one, the Bible makes it pretty clear. And number two, I talk to people all the time who were in church or currently in church, and it still affects them to this day. Because John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There are people I know to this day who grew up in church and they just were never given grace or truth. They never were. I went to a mosque about a month ago, and not to convert, don't worry. I went to a mosque with some individuals, and it was an open house, so anybody could come in. And there was a gentleman who got up there, and he was just like us. I mean, he grew up in Texas. He, you know, had his own business, this and that. And it broke my heart. It didn't break my heart because he converted from Christianity to Islam. That was sad, right? But what really shattered me was that legalism tore him apart. He said, I would go to church and I would ask questions. I would ask questions. I would say, well, what does the Trinity mean? Can you explain that? And he'd say, and the people would say, don't ask questions. Don't question God. Or he'd say, I'm kind of struggling with this sin. And they'd say, go repent. You're not living right. And he said, I finally just said, this isn't for me. I got to be honest with you, folks. If I was in his shoes, I would be saying the same thing. No one showed him the compassion that Jesus would have shown to him. Because when they asked Jesus questions, he would answer them. And he would answer them correctly. He was always open to hearing. And he would use the kingdom keys. Man, I wish I could talk to that guy. Now, I couldn't have because that, you know, wouldn't have been right. They probably would have kicked me out because I was in a mosque. But it broke my heart because that ruined his faith. Now, I believe there could be a time where, you know, God could bring him back to Christianity and through Jesus Christ. I do believe that. But legalism ruined, at that time, that man. That's sad. Now, the good thing is our church isn't like that. And if we are, we need to address it. Because that's not how we should be when we bring people into church and we disciple others. That includes our family. I'm very grateful that my family never put such a high expectation that I was basically going to fall no matter what. And because it was so high on the pedestal, the fall would have been so much greater, I never would have came back. Right? We got to show love and compassion and grace in our personal homes as well. And we need to tell the truth, but let the Holy Spirit do His job and convict.
Yes.
Tell the truth, but allow and let the Holy Spirit do His job and convict them. There's going to be people that you're going to run across. I know I have. And they don't believe in God. Or they're not living for Christ. And I know for a fact that there's been times where I wanted to just tell them, hey, you're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. This and that. And there's been times, and I always ask God, Lord, guide me. And there's been times where the Holy Spirit says, stop. Stop. And I stop. And I don't hear anything. I'm going to start talking. So I just start talking to them. It may be very casual. Hey, how's it going? Where are you at? You know, this and that. I build that relationship. And there's been times where months go by and I still interact with them. I say hello to them. I help them out if they ever need help. And they'll say, you know, I think I may come to your church one day. Or, you know, I think I'm going to go to this church down the street. Yeah. Or tell me about your religious belief. I didn't even do anything. I just built a relationship. You're going to run across people like that. And I want to encourage you, church, that all you have to do is be their friend. All you have to do is love them. All you have to do is get to know them, get to know their name, their family. All you have to do is help them out even when they don't ask. All you have to do is serve. Let the Holy Spirit do His job and convict them. And He will. He'll bring them in. He'll begin to say, you know, I really feel like I should get this right. I really feel like God's speaking to me. There's something going on. You'll see it.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you, when you do that, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.